Welcome to the Word, to the Uttermost, a ministry of First Emmanuel Baptist Church located in Chesapeake, Virginia. This message is presented by Bible teacher and servant of Christ, Dr. Walter Yoho.
Entitled The Altar of Gold, let's pray. Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief when we come before thee in prayer. A passenger riding the New York subway looked very discouraged. A kind Christian gentleman went to him and they started to talk. After a while, the man opened up and said, "You know, I've been out of work for several months now, and I cannot bear the thought of going home and telling my wife I still haven't found anything." The Christian man said to him, "Have you tried prayer?" "Oh," said the man, "it hasn't gotten that bad yet." Oh, dear friend, prayer is not only a last resort. It should be our first resource. Why go to pieces when you can go to God for peace? The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Does it pay to pray? The wicked, in effect, answer no. "Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?" Job 21, 14 and 15. The wicked answer no. But the Bible says God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, 6. You see, God is a great God, and therefore he will be sought. And God is a good God, and therefore he will be found. Exodus 40, verse 5, calls the altar of prayer the altar of gold. You might say it is profitable to pray. It pays to pray. Prayer is, may I say, man's golden opportunity. Job cries out in Job 23, 3, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Imagine, you and I, dear Christian, can come before the King of creation and the God of glory and call him Father and tell him what's on our heart. Indeed, to be able to call the King of glory my own dear father and very closest friend is joy unspeakable and full of glory. In the Old Testament, speaking of the Holy of Holies, it was death to go in. In the New Testament, it is death to stay out. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. In the Old Testament, the fire consumed the sacrifice. In the New Testament, the sacrifice consume the fire. The Bible has a long, beautiful word for this. It's called propitiation. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a full, true heart, in full assurance of faith." Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. Prayer is a priceless privilege. Christ shed his blood on an old rugged cross so that you and I could come to God and confide in God. Indeed, to neglect prayer in your life is to slight the cross of Christ. Prayerlessness is a serious sin. Prayerlessness is also foolish, since we need God so much. And God is abundantly able to supply all of our needs. In Philippians 4:19, Paul assured the Philippian church, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Think about Philippians 4:19 in terms of a banknote. My God, that is the name of the banker, shall supply, that is the promise to pay, all your need, that is the amount of the check, according to his riches, that is the capital in the bank, in glory, that is the address of the bank, in Christ Jesus, that is the name on the signature line that makes every penny payable in full. The Bible is full of prayer and filled with prayers. 667 recorded prayers, to be exact. There are many very good reasons you and I should pray more frequently and more fervently. We should pray more frequently. Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." And we should pray more fervently. James 5:16b says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Why should you and I pray more frequently and more fervently? Because God commands Christians to pray. Prayer is a great way to start the day. Prayer is a great way to close the day. Prayer articulates a deep need within the deepest heart of man. Prayer delights the heart of God. Prayer draws God near. You can turn Romans 8:32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?" You can turn Romans 8:32 into a precious prayer promise. Prayer turns all the precious promises of God into all prevailing petitions to God. Prayer makes the word come alive. Prayer obliterates the past. Prayer drives away care. Prayer means you are never alone. Prayer gets you out of trouble. Life is fragile. Handle with prayer. Prayer makes us good independent Baptists. And I'll explain that more for you independent Baptists, because it first of all makes us good dependent Baptists. Prayer spells V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory. Prayer brings revival. Prayer moves the hand that rules the world. Prayer is a great ministry to all other ministries. Jesus is praying for you. The Holy Spirit wants to be your prayer partner. Imagine that. The veil is torn in two. We now have access into the very presence of God. Prayer ignites the power of God. And prayer, God answers prayer. Last but not least, God answers prayer. The first reason why we should pray more fervently and more frequently is because God commands Christians to pray. The Bible says, "Pray without ceasing," 1 Thessalonians 5:17. "You will as soon find a living man who does not breathe as a living Christian who does not pray." A survey was taken some years ago that reported that the average church member prays 63 seconds a day and the average pastor 3 minutes a day. This is not nearly enough. The psalmist exhorts us, "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah," Psalm 62:8. Of aged angel Anna, we read that she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day, Luke 2:37. In the Bible, it says they fasted and prayed, but today we pray fast. And what about pastors? Prayer is an important part of the pastorate, as the apostles emphasized in Acts 6:4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. To prevent backsliding, try doing more knee bending. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Why? Because, in the words of an old Puritan commentator, prayer fetcheth Christ into the battle, and so is sure a victory. We're talking about important reasons why we should pray more frequently and more fervently, and we started off with a very basic reason. God commands Christians to pray. And we're talking about 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Praying without ceasing is not talking about praying, that is, continuously occurring. It's not talking about praying that is continuously occurring, but that is readily recurring. It does not mean you're praying all the time and have no time for anything else like sleeping, eating, working, playing, tennis, or talking with a friend. My son Peter and I were walking in Staples. Peter is my youngest son. I told him to look around for items that would interest him while I shopped for educational items. When it was time to go, I looked all over for Peter but couldn't find him. Then I heard his hacking cough and followed the sound right to him. The adverb in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, translated without ceasing, was used in the Greek papyri for a hacking cough. When a person is suffering from a hacking cough, he does not cough continually without pause. But there is that tickle in his throat that easily breaks out into an audible cough at any time. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? 3 things, I think. First, we should be living in the abiding atmosphere of God, or as Moses says it, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91:1. What I want more than anything, remarked Charles Spurgeon, is to be able, whatever I happen to be doing or wherever I happen to be going, to stop, look up to heaven and say, I love you, Father, and for God to look down and say, I know it, Charles, I know it. Second, we should send prayergrams up to heaven, like Nehemiah did, whenever we feel a special need to do so. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands, Nehemiah 6:9. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear, Nehemiah 6:14. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof, Nehemiah 13:14. Can you find more of these prayergrams in the book of Nehemiah? There are 8. Third, praying without ceasing means, I think, we should have stated times of prayer and not miss our appointments. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice, said the psalmist in Psalm 55:17.
This has been a presentation by Dr. Walter Yoho. For further information, comments, prayers, and material, please contact missions300ministry@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and God bless.